Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, or do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
So I didn't get a chance to hear you cheer that you were great during announcements. So how are you? Woo! All right. It took Naya a lot of courage to get up here this morning, so maybe give her a round of applause too. If you're new or you're visiting, I'm Pastor Carly, and sometimes we are told that we are weak, that we're too young, or too old, or not enough. Sometimes we let fear seep in and grip us a bit too tight. As Adrian already told us, we're starting a new sermon series called Fierce, and today we're spending time in God's Word to refute those times that were called weak or fearful, too young, too old, and not enough. If you're new or you're visiting, we do these Teens' Choice sermons, and we look to our teens to inform our content. We might ask them what they want to hear. We might look to their lives for examples of fierceness. But our intent today is to communicate to our teens how loved and needed they are in this community. This church family is passionate about intergenerational ministry, and part of that means including our teens during this time of teaching. And speaking of teens, I serve with an organization called Young Life. They're on a mission to reach teens who don't know Jesus and to equip our young friends who do know Jesus to share the gospel. And I have to tell you about one of my favorite Young Life experiences. So Young Life has this beautiful camp, Rockridge Canyon, and it's out by Princeton, BC. And lots of you have been there. Raise your hand if you've ever been to Rockridge. You know what? Actually, I changed my mind. Why don't you cheer really loud if you've ever been to Rockridge? Right on. So this camp is stunning. It's got a private lake, amazing hikes, and a 4-star resort rating, all for teens to get to know Jesus better. But Rockridge also has this thing called the Tower of Terror. And let me assure you, rarely do these names filled with hyperbole do justice to an activity, but this time it sure does. I have participated in this activity many times. And when I am at camp, before I head over to the Tower of Terror, I am pumped up. I am excited, and life looks like this. So this is how it works. You and a friend suit up in a harness, and you have the option of climbing a 20-foot telephone pole or a 25-foot telephone pole. And there are these little pegs that you grab onto, and you're climbing, and maybe a few feet up, you start to feel a little queasy. I mean, sure, you're in safety gear, but safety gear doesn't always tell your brain to tone it down. So you climb up this pole, and every little peg you climb increases the distance between you and the ground. Every little peg increases your fear. I've done the Tower of Terror countless times. In fact, I used to work out on the Tower of Terror, and without fail, I'm usually about 7 feet up in the air when I start to regret my decision. I'm laughing to hide my fear, and I'm blinking tears away from my eyes. And about 10 feet up, I wonder if I'm gonna vomit. And at the 20-foot mark, I am convinced I'm paralyzed. I am so scared that I'd rather be trapped on that last peg for hours than have to keep climbing. I'd rather call the fire department and get them to come and get me down than have to climb up onto the top of this pole. You see, the platform you're supposed to stand on up the top is roughly the size of 3 sneakers. But between the two of you, you have 4 sneakers. So it's a little bit terrifying. There's no room up there. You have to cling to each other to make sure you don't fall off. If you could handle opening your eyes up there, there's this beautiful view of the lake. When I'm up there, all I see is 20 feet below me, and I note it looks like 40 feet. I tug at my harness. I feel for my belay rope behind me. I tap my helmet to ease my fear, but it doesn't work. Once you're perched up there, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to jump straight out and grab a bar that's allegedly 4 feet in front of you. I have never done this successfully. Oddly enough, it's one of my favorite things to do out of camp. I love the Tower of Terror because, one, I'm obviously fierce with maybe a little streak of danger running through me, and two, and more importantly, it teaches me so much. It breaks down the ideas I had about my own confidence, and it draws me closer into relationships when someone trusts me enough to help them up onto a way too small platform. But as a follower of Jesus, I find myself asking God where he is in my fear every time I'm up there. One of the most common commands in the Bible is for us to have courage or to not be afraid. God is constantly telling us to not be afraid. In Isaiah, we can read this in chapter 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, it says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear. If you really believed that God was the source of your courage, how would you live? When God calls you into something scary and asks you to be strong and very courageous, to jump, how do you hope you'll respond? There's this guy in the Bible named Joshua. He even has a book named after him, and he was very fierce. Joshua actually shows up in several books in the Old Testament. In the book of Numbers, there's a story about Joshua and his friend Caleb, and he's one of 12 young leaders who were asked to go on a spy mission to report on the land that God promised to the Israelites. That's God's people. Out of all the spies that went in, only Caleb and Joshua trusted God. They didn't know the outcome. They reported the same thing that the others did. They said the people were fierce. Their cities were huge and well fortified. Worse yet, they were giants. Joshua trusted God. In the face of fear, he trusted God. He had every reason to be afraid, and he trusted God. The story of the Bible is a narrative about redemption and love and freedom from fear. It's about Jesus. And every action in between is pointing us towards Jesus. Joshua's fierce story and his trust and courage point us towards Jesus. His story and our story starts a bit further back than his spy mission, though. God's people, Israel, were held captive by Pharaoh as slaves. And you may already know the story of Moses, how he helped God lead Israel to freedom. Well, Joshua is the guy who leads Israel into the promised land after Moses passes away. He has this big job. He's used to being fierce. He was a spy. He's a bit of a prophet. And he was sort of like Moses' right-hand guy for most of his young life. But now he's in charge. Now, I've never been handed the reins to an entire people group, but I have been placed in leadership positions. And when you're not in the boss's shoes, it's pretty easy to feel strong and courageous. It's easy to feel confident when you don't have to make the decisions. That's why you still climb the Tower of Terror, even after watching your friends go up before you. If you get handed the reins to something, it's scary. But God tells Joshua in chapter 1, verse 6, "Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people." That's a big task. And to our young people here today, you might feel pretty far away from needing to be strong and courageous enough to lead God's people. But let me assure you, the time between 13 and 33 years old feels like nothing. Like Joshua and the Israelites, we are in a relationship with God. We are his people. And like Joshua did with Moses, we encounter changes in our lives that can elicit fear. And the fear can grip us and steer us off of God's course for our own lives. Back in the book of Joshua, in verse 7, God repeats his command, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." I love this command. Be strong and very courageous. It's this reminder that when we let the fear of this world seep in, we are going to need a ton of courage. That's what he says when he means when he says, "Don't turn away from my law." He is saying his word, he is the source of our courage. God commands Joshua again in verse 9, "Have I not commanded you?" He keeps reminding him, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." We know this story is about Joshua. We know that God is encouraging this spy, this fierce military leader. But I hear these words, and I know that they're for me too. And I hope that you hear them and know that God is instructing you to be strong and courageous, to not be afraid, to not get discouraged, that whatever God has in store for you, God's there with you. Your human fear is not too big for him to handle. When we begin to understand what God has in store for us, when our task becomes clear, and when we lean into him, our courage naturally grows. Think about the first time that you walked into a class at a new school. It's scary. But as you understand what the directions are, as you begin to feel the heartbeat of where you are, you become less scared. You begin to become courageous. God is telling you to chase down this strong and courageous nature. He is telling you he has plans for you and that you can lean into him to be strong and courageous. In the midst of change, in the midst of fear, we can choose to believe that God has good plans. And we can do this because we have God. We can do this because God is the source of our bravery. When we dwell in his presence, when we allow ourselves to be encouraged by him, we are formed than this world. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed." I love that verse. We are formed and reformed to chase down his plans, his goals, his name for us. When we are in God's presence, he tells us again and again and again not to be afraid. And I get it. It's scary. Pastor Kevin understands fear really well, especially with all the spiders moving inside this time of year. Maybe you're scared of heights. Oh, there we go, Kevin. Sorry, that's pretty scary. I'm scared of heights, in case you were wondering about that story. Maybe you're scared of clowns, or maybe you have nomophobia, and that's the fear of being without mobile phone coverage. I had to look it up. Or maybe it's the fear of how you'll be treated as a woman in a traditionally male-dominated field. I just started a new job this year, and that feels pretty real to me sometimes. It's scary. I'm in graduate studies, and that's scary sometimes. How will I balance work, school, and family? Will I do well? I'm a mom, and there's way too many examples to list there, so we'll just skip that. It's scary because our human reaction without God is often a response of fear. We are afraid that we don't have what it takes to be a good student, leader, athlete, mom, daughter, son, father, employee, you name it. Fear has gripped us somewhere. But the Bible is so clear again and again in Scripture and in our experiences with God. He is the source of courage, just like he was for Joshua. In Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, it says, "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love." One of my favorite authors, Sarah Bessie, addresses our concept of fear, our personal attack on our value, as she says, "Rest in your God-breathed worth. Stop holding your breath, hiding your gifts, and satiating your hunger. Stop waiting for someone else to say that you count, that you have a voice, that you are called." Isn't that interesting? When I read this quote, I feel like she's addressing some of my very real fears. And I'm encouraged by Scripture too. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." Isn't that cool? God has given you this gift, this ability to turn to him and place your value, your God-breathed worth, in his hands and move from fear to courage. He does this because we are his. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And that darkness, I argue, would be fear. Guys, we're chosen. We are chosen by God to be strong and courageous. We are chosen to walk into work, our kitchen, the soccer field, class, our communities, and say, I am fierce because I am God's, and he is the source of my courage. He chose me to lead here. He chose me to rock it on the volleyball court. He chose me, and he gave me a gift. I may face very real human fears, but God is far greater than those fears. If he tells me to be strong and very courageous, at the very least, I'm going to try. It's really important for us to remember that these stories about Joshua in the Old Testament point us towards the gospel of Jesus Christ. In light of the incredible work Jesus did with his life, his death, his resurrection, we have assurance that we get to be bold, that we get to be strong and courageous. And as we follow Jesus, as we move forward with the call that God has for us, we often stop or turn around or take a detour. Last week, Steve told us that we don't always know what God has in mind, but because of his goodness, we can trust him. Do we trust him? And that's what I want to do today in the face of my fears. When I feel like my life is taking a detour away from God's plan for it, when I am fearful, I can turn to God and know that while I might not understand my circumstances right now, that I can trust in his goodness and be strong and very courageous. The good news of Jesus is that I am saved and claimed, and instead of fear, I can be strong and courageous. I want to go back to my story of the Tower of Terror. When I am up there, without fail, every time, I manage to stand up, to bend my knees despite my fear, my stomach churning, my legs shaking, and I jump. I jump out. And the free fall before you begin to get belayed down is like maybe 2 seconds. And once you're finally on the ground and you have perspective, the adrenaline starts to subside and life looks like this. Every time I let something grip me like this, every time I let my fears seep in, I feel God nudging me to be strong and very courageous. I feel my harness, my helmet, and my rope in God's word. I am still fearful, but with God's help, I can move past it. So church, when you're staring down at the ground and it feels like you're 20 feet up in the air, when you begin to allow fear to creep in, how will you answer God when he asks you to jump? Let's pray. God, you are so good to us. You care for us. You encourage us. And when we are afraid, you are the source of our courage. We just want to say thanks. Amen.